and would ask you if you'd like to follow along. I think it's coming up on this, well, the message word comes up on the screen. We're going to read from Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7. We're going to read an account that is very familiar to you. And yet as we study together, you're going to probably ask yourself some questions of what's going on. Genesis chapter 6, I'll be reading verse 11 through 22, and Genesis chapter 7, I'll be reading verses 17 through 24, if you'd like to follow along. Let's pray before I read. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning of opening your word and reading it and studying it together with this congregation. I pray, Lord, you would open our hearts and our minds to be receptive to your truth, to your teaching. I pray that what we hear is something that we'll be thinking about today, and that we'll be thinking about you as we think about these things that we read about. I would pray that you will bless every word that I speak. May each word be filled with your truth, and that together our meditations may be pleasing and acceptable to you. For this is a prayer that we ask in your name. Amen. Let us hear the word of God as we read from Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted in their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters to the earth to destroy all life under heaven, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on the earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and their wife, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of every living creature, male and female, and keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you and be kept alive. You are to take every food that is for to be eaten, and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded. Genesis 7, verse 17. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth. The waters increased, lifted the ark above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all creatures that swarm over the earth and mankind. Everything on dry land that had breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals and creatures that moved along the ground, and the birds of the air were wiped out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. May God add his richest blessings to these, his most holy words, as we read them together this morning. I want to begin this morning by sharing with you that the words that I preached this morning are very biblical. The words that I share this morning are some of my heavy concerns that I have for the country that I live in. This is not political in any one way or the other. I am not promoting one party over the other. I just want to have you wipe out politics, if you can, for these next few minutes. But just share with you some of the concerns that I have that are going on in the world that I live in. I turn on my TV. The other night I was listening to the news. The first four things that I heard on the news were bad stories. A person was murdered. A person was killed in a car crash. A person was caught with drugs. Other things that were going on in people's lives that were negative as to I would see them. I thought, where's the good news? And you just take a look at your newscasts from now on as you listen to the 10 o'clock news, you're going to hear a lot of bad stuff going on. We live now in a woke society. Did you know that? I woke up this morning to come to church with you. That's not what it means. To be honest with you, I really don't know what it means. What does woke mean? Woke is something that's been created in the last few years that is supposed to kind of have me understand that whatever you want to do, you can do, and it's right. Isn't that kind of what it means? How I have kind of defined it is when others keep exaggerating the truth. People everywhere will be telling you these are the things that you can do. And if you speak against it, you are a racist, you are a bigot, you just don't know what's going on in this world. I've never been referred to as a racist person so much as I have in the last few years. I really don't see myself as racist. But because I may not agree with some unbiblical thing that's happening, that somehow makes me to be a racist person. That troubles me. Did you know that today, before this day is over, I checked the statistics, 44.7 people will be murdered in our country. I was concerned about that 0.7. You're either murdered or you're not, right? But I understand statistics. About 45 people today will lose their life because somebody else will take that life. 66 people today will die because of suicide in our country. From January 1st to May 1st, there have been 13,950 some plus people that have died because of a gun. I'm not against guns. I own guns. But over 13,900 people have lost their lives because somebody shot them or they took their own life with a gun. Now, just for a little fun, last night I was kind of figuring, what is the population of Inwood? I found out that you're not a real big city. But a little over 9,000 people in this town. Very wonderful town. Do you realize that 14 Inwoods have already died this year because of guns? By the end of the year, as we would go by last year's statistics, over 26 Inwoods will have perished. Now that kind of puts it into a little different perspective, doesn't it? A lot of hatred going on. A lot of people don't like each other. A lot of people don't argue anymore. They just shoot. As I look around, there's just a lot of sin going on. People will tell you that if we want to, We're going to read books to our second and third graders that have some pretty illicit pictures in them. And you have no right to even speak about that, even if you're a parent. Today, people can tell you that we're going to change the identity of your children if they want to. If they want to be a girl instead of a boy, we'll make sure that that happens. And you don't have anything to say about it. But God made male and female. And we read, and he was pleased. God didn't make any mistake. And yet somebody else is trying to tell us that we shouldn't raise a voice because of their sin. To me, it kind of sounds like what was going on in Noah's time, doesn't it? When the world was just so corrupt, everything was going so much in a bad way. In fact, this is a haunting verse to me in Scripture, Genesis 6, verse 6. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Can you believe it? God is there in the midst of all this wickedness and saying, why did I ever create man? Why did I ever make people? So distressed was he over the evil that was going on in the world. Now, I would hope that you would understand that even though Genesis 6 only comes five chapters after Genesis 1, when the world was created, the flood didn't happen just right away. There's probably a couple thousand years that have taken place from the time of creation to the time of Noah's time. In that time, there were all kinds of people that were very, very, very wicked. And it was so distressing to God that he is going to share with Noah how he's got a plan. And that plan is going to be destroy everything except Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. Now, just let you know where Noah came from. And this is where I wanted you to remember that fourth verse of Psalm 145, okay? Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah. Enoch lived 365 years. He never died. He was a righteous man. He just walked off with God. I just see that as just such a pretty picture. Okay, Enoch, let's go for a walk. And he walks right into eternity, never dies. When he's 65 years old, he has a son. His name is Methuselah. Methuselah is a God-fearing person, one of the longest people that's recorded to live on this earth, and it was 969 years. He lived. When he was 187 years old, think about that. 187 years old, he has a child. His son is named Lamech. Lamech lived to be 777 years old. He was the father of Noah. When he was 182 years old, he had a son called Noah. Now, think about this fourth verse of how one generation will pass on to the next generation, to the next generation of the wonderful things that God has been doing. And I see this as such a strong lineage of Noah that he just didn't pop out into the world and he had to become a believer on his own. He had biblical parents, grandparents, great-grandparents that were teaching him of the ways of God. And how important that is for you, and we're going to touch on that in a moment, how families really need to be passing on that to your children. What is faith all about? What does it mean to be a believer? What does it mean to walk in the fear of the Lord? How important that is. If For we read that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. There's a quartet, some quartets sing about that. There's a catchy little song about Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I don't know the rest of the song. But it's a catchy little song. I love it. But Noah is that person that is just really connected with God. And he knows how powerful God is. And God is saying to Noah, I've had enough. I'm going to destroy the world because of its sin. People are so disobedient. People have no time for me at all. This is it. I'm going to cause a great flood to flood, the rains to come and flood the earth. You will be kept safe because you are going to build an ark. And you're going to build in this ark for a number of years. It's going to take you a while, but keep doing it because the rains are going to come. I'm sure some of you have been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. It's a fabulous place. It's a wonderful place to just kind of put into visual perspective how big this ark is. The ark is built according to the dimensions that are listed in the scriptures, 450 feet long, a football field and a half long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. You're to build three layers in that boat. You're going to have all kinds of places there for animals to be in their pens, and there's going to be food there, and you're going to take everything on that boat because there's going to rain. And you build a door in the ark. And that door was open, and as it started to look like it was clouding over, Noah would go and get all of the animals, male and female, of each of the animals and bring them into the ark. And as he is bringing some of those in, I'm probably starting to rain, starting to sprinkle. Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives go into the boat, and they shut the door. Probably a pretty big slam when you see that door, how big that door is, and it slams shut. Probably one of the most haunting visual pictures that I see of this time is the rains coming down from the heavens. More than just a sprinkle, I believe. The rains are coming down pretty heavy. It's getting heavier and heavier. And what do a lot of the people do? They come and start scratching on the door. They want to get in. It's too late. But they want to get in. They're scratching. They're hollering. They're screaming. Can you imagine sitting inside that boat and hearing this? But it's true. People wanted to get in, but they couldn't. I see that so often in life, that people who really don't have much of a faith, people who are not believers, but they go through a tragedy, a disappointment, a disease, or a problem, and they just feel so bad, they want to come now and try to find some kind of faith that they can hang on to. Now all of a sudden, faith is important to them. And some of them are very sincere. And God knows who's sincere. There's a thief hanging on a cross who is a bad dude. But his heart was right with God at the time that he was dying. And God said, come into paradise with me. God knows our hearts. But so often people will very sinful people will try to all of a sudden quick get some religion because it's getting later, it's getting too late. And then maybe they are healed, or maybe the tragedy is not so bad and they fall away again. It's shallow. They don't hold on to God. And I see these people just scratching and trying to get into the boat. What a terrible picture that is. But the rains came. And the people scrambled to the highest mountaintops. But even the highest mountaintops were covered by at least 20 feet of water. And everyone perished. I think of what's going on in our world today. moms and dads not getting along with their kids, kids not getting along with their moms and dads, some to the point of kids taking the lives of their moms and dads and their grandparents. They're so angry. I read about spouses, husbands and wives, who are hiring hit people to take out their spouse that they don't like anymore, thinking that that's going to remove the problem, only to find themselves getting into deeper problems because of murder. I think of what I said before, of all the discussions going on with school boards and parents having at odds with things that are happening with literature that they're going to read to children in school. Some of the things that they want to teach that are not biblical. I think of the agony that's going on for young parents trying to say, hey, that's my child. You can't do that to our children. And others say that if you step in our way, you are racist. Preachers are getting on to pulpits, preaching from a Bible that I'm not sure where it came from, but they're preaching about how all the different ways that you can get into heaven. This word says one way. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't water that down. There's enough fentanyl in the United States to kill each of us a couple times over. Drugs are kind of running rampant all over the place. People are choosing to put something into their bodies that would give them maybe a few minutes of exaltation, but it's destroying them from within, and they don't even know about that. Or they may be aware of it, but they don't care. And they take more and more drugs. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie Sound of Freedom. I highly recommend it. I would want each of you to go see it. I saw it. I'm only going to see it once. I don't want to see it again. But it's a powerful movie. Sharing with the whole issue that's going on with children being taken from their homes and placed into being sex slaves for perverted people. And the sad thing is to realize we think that that's going on in third world countries, but our United States is one of the leading people exploiting children in this way. How can that be? We're supposed to be a nation under God. But so often, God is nowhere to be found. Well, I do know that God's not going to send a flood again to destroy the earth. That's his promise. He promised that to us. He said to Noah, I'm never going to do this again. And he sent a rainbow in the sky to be a reminder to us that God's promise to us is that he's not going to destroy mankind in this way again. But that doesn't mean he's not a God of judgment. People that have no time for the Lord are going to be judged. People who are Christians are going to be judged. God knows our heart. God's grace is sufficient for us if we just come, even in our brokenness, to come before him and say, God, change my heart. Change what's going on. I've got this issue going on. I don't want to do that anymore. Change my heart, oh God. God changes it. God saves us from our sins. That's the good news. I do want to leave you with good news. And that is that God changes the hearts of people. And God will save us in his time of judgment. God's coming again. Jesus is coming to this earth again. One more time. And that's it. God will judge the earth and bring those who are believers in him and the blood of Jesus Christ with him to eternity. And those who have no time for God will spend eternity in hell. That's the choice that we have. That's the choice that we need to be sharing with others. We need to be those witnesses before other people. We need to be the people that are experiencing a revival in this land. We talk about all the bad stuff that's going on in our country. How does that change? It starts with us, one at a time. It starts in this church. It starts in the church that I go to in Sioux Falls. We as God's people need to continue to pray. We need to continue to be revived. We need to continue to support movies like Sound of Freedom that exposes all the bad stuff that's going on. And let people know that there's a better way. It is said that Noah preached for 120 years and never had a convert. Well, I want to share a little different insight into that. I believe he did make an impact on people, his own family. As he was passed down to him from generation to generation of the wonderful things that God has done, so it is that he now will teach his children and his grandchildren about who this God was that sent all this rain and then sent a rainbow to show us his promise. And Noah would pass it on to his sons and to their wives. And they would believe. And they would join him in the ark. That's what we need to do, parents, with our children. We need to continue to share with our children what it means to worship a God who loves them, who cares for them, who wants what is best for them. Don't shrug our responsibilities. We need to continue to teach and teach and teach our children what sin is all about. And what are the consequences to sin? And what's the alternative? That being a loving God who is full of grace and mercy. May that revival start in our hearts. May it start in this church. May God speak to each one of us. Let's pray. We thank you, O God, for your word, for a very simple, well-known story in your word that we've read many times, that we've taught to our children. Yet it is such a story that is so filled with meaning today about all that's going on in our world. May you be the God of grace and glory that would help change the hearts of people. Let each one of us be a witness to your truth and to your power. Thank you for loving us, for saving us. And thank you for the call to each one of us to make a difference in this world, to people right around us. Bless us as we serve you. Amen.